Hello there, everybody. You are listening to your favorite podcast. Welcome back to the Subi and You podcast. This is Monday. This is episode 66. We're moving right along. Before we know it, we'll be at 100. That is crazy to me. But yeah, I'm sure it's crazy to some of y'all too that it's been going on this long. It's been going on for over a year. And I'm really excited. I'm glad that everybody has stuck around and that more people are coming around to find the podcast. So thank you all so much for that. I really appreciate the support and everybody listening and sharing. And of course, all my patrons and my sponsors, you are all awesome. You help make this thing or help keep this thing going. And I really, really appreciate that. As you see by the title, I have Mushu the Cross Trek, who is driven by the human Emma Jeanette. We had a great conversation about her car and about the community, her mods, and some other activities that she is involved with. And some of you who know her personally probably know what that is. Others will find out. It's something that I have actually done before, too. So we had a good little conversation about it. But you'll hear that towards the end, I believe. Anyway, we will get into the conversation with Emma Jeanette here in a little bit, but first, we need to take care of a few things. This episode is brought to you by Melee Design Firm. They are your battery and battery mount specialists. Don't forget to check out their billet engine bay caps as well to help add some style to your engine bay. In addition, they also offer anti-gravity jump starters and anti-gravity batteries to go along with their battery mounts. So head on over to meleedesignfirm.com to get your battery and battery mount or any of the other products that they offer. And if you want to learn more about Melee Design Firm, head on over to episode 40 of the podcast where I talk to Mitch all about the business. He's a great guy. He's a really busy guy. And he is a great influence to me and what I'm trying to achieve with the podcast and my goals with this thing. So anyway, go check it out. This episode is also brought to you by SubaruGear.com, Subaru's official branded merchandise for Subaru of America. This week's featured item is the Wild Tribute Outback Tee. Any Subaru Outback owner will love wearing this incredibly soft t-shirt. Not only is the tee comfortable, it is just one of many give back gear items. A portion of the proceeds go toward helping protect historic and wild places. Wild Tribute's mission is to honor the national parks and public lands. They are a brand that loves the parks just as much as you do. As always, don't forget to use promo code SUBINU at checkout to save 15% on your order, plus get free shipping. Now that spring is here, I'm sure many of you will be getting out a little bit more to go explore and get into some adventure. A brand that is all about adventure is Ryka, and they are committed to providing customers with the highest quality, specialized wheels and lift kits that will allow you to travel further, experience new adventures, and discover extraordinary destinations. Ryka wants to make sure that you are ready for anything wherever adventure takes you. Ryka's flowform process creates both lightweight and durable wheels, which are of the highest quality and are built to satisfy the requirements of all you adventure enthusiasts. Ryka lift kits raise your Subaru to protect the vehicle's underbody from damage while off-roading. The lift kits were also designed to increase the vehicle ride height in order to accommodate larger tires while maintaining the factory ride quality and alignment. The quest for adventure begins with you, and Ryka is what gets you there. When you've decided which wheels you want to go with or that lift kit or both, don't forget to use code SUBIU10 at checkout to get 10% off of your purchase. The Subi and You podcast is also brought to you by That Subi Chick. Go check out SubiChick.com to see all of the clothing, accessories, decals, and stickers and Team Subi Chick merch that she has to offer. Don't forget to use Subi and You podcast, all spelled out, to get 10% off of your order. A big thanks to all my sponsors for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. All right, so the Subaru Winterfest Tour is still going strong this weekend, Saturday, April 9th at Sierra at Tahoe in Twin Bridges, California. This is a one-of-a-kind music and mountain lifestyle tour that invites friends, family, skiers, snowboarders, music fans, and dog lovers alike to bask in their love of winter and adventure. Come enjoy live music, Subaru swag, the latest in adventure gear, free snacks and beverages, activities for your pup, and amazing daily giveaways. Subaru Winterfest music this Saturday will feature music by Pixie and the Partygrass Boys and Boot Juice. Gather your crew and head to Winterfest this Saturday at Sierra at Tahoe. All right, before we get into this episode with Emma Jeanette, I have one shout out to do. This shout out goes to Subi Mew. This is Laura. I actually met her in person. I was sitting at my son's high school waiting to pick him up, and I see this woman waving, and I thought she was waving like at somebody behind me, like maybe her son was behind me or her, you know, somebody she knew was behind my car on the other side of my car. Because she's waving, and then I realized, like, she's waving at me. Then I realized, I look, and I'm like, oh, she's in a WRX. So I roll my window down, and she was like, hey, I've seen you around here, and I follow you on Instagram, and I just started listening to the podcast recently. So we had a nice little chat, and it was kind of cool to see somebody kind of new to the community out here where I live. So that was kind of cool. So welcome, Laura, to the Subi community, and welcome to listening to the Subi and You podcast. All right, so now we're going to get into this episode with Emma Jeanette and hear all about Mushu the Cross Trek. Thanks for coming on the podcast and being a guest. I know we've been kind of talking about it back and forth for a little bit, and I know you were excited to do this, and I was excited to have you on, and it's cool just connecting with new people and having new guests and stuff. But go ahead and introduce yourself and let everybody know who you are and where you live.
Perfect. So hi, I'm Emma Jeanette. I'm from Denver, Colorado, a little bit closer to like Lakewood or Golden. So that's why I hang out with mostly the Northern Cross Treks and Subis. Just a little bit about myself is behind the Instagram of Mushu98. So I am the little red cross track that's all over your Instagram pages. But
yeah, no, that's good. So where did you come up with the name Mushu?
That's a great question. And I love it when people ask me this. They usually ask me what the name Mushi is. and I don't know why, but it is Mushu. And it is from the Disney movie Mulan. Growing up, I am the only daughter of three sons. And so I never felt like a girly girl. And then when I watched the Disney movie Mulan, I fell in love with who Mulan was. And so when I bought my cross track and it was bright red, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to think of a name. And I was like, well, I don't want to name it like on the nose. And so I was thinking about like Disney names. And then I watched Mulan and saw Mushu the dragon and how sassy and fiery the dragon is. And he's red. And I was like, boom, done. There it is. And so I went with Mushu the dragon. And then the 98 is both my birth year and it's the year that Mulan was made. So it just all kind of seamlessly went together.
Oh, that's perfect. That's really cool. So how long,
thank you.
How long did you have your car before you came up with the name?
I would say 3 days.
Yeah.
It wasn't long. I literally like sat down at my house and me and my roommates were watching Mulan and I was like, oh, there it is. That's the name I'm going to go with.
Yeah, I think it was about 3 days for mine too. And I mean, Pearl isn't very original, but I saw that other people had names for their cars and I'd only named one other car before. And so I was like, well, it's Crystal White Pearl. Pearl sounds good. I guess I'll go with that. And I didn't realize there were like a few other Pearls out there. So, and then after like, I mean, I wouldn't change it or anything. And of course I like it. It's fitting and everything, but after like getting into the community more and seeing so many creative names, I'm kind of like, I wish I would have waited a little bit, but you know, mm-hmm. I'm happy with everything the way it is.
See your next Subaru. You can just like think about it and just, you know, marinate on some names.
Yeah.
And then, you know, come up with a creative one to go with Pearl. But I like Pearl. It's a gem of some sort. So you're still special.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, everybody has their own individual builds anyway, you know, so.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
You can get influenced by somebody else, but everybody kind of has their own style, which is really cool. And it's so cool to see that if you like have questions about something and you want to get some advice, you can reach out to people and they will help you. And everybody's so supportive and everybody's excited to see what you're going to do next. And that's like one of the greatest things about this community is how supportive everybody is.
Oh, 100%. It's like one of my favorite things about having a Subaru is the community.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like it, you know, and it just kind of really is just crazy how buying a car can change your life. And, you know, I mean, cause you could have ended up buying some other car, but you ended up buying a Subaru.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, so like what influenced your decision to buy a Subaru in the first place and why a Crosstrek?
So this is like a two-part question for me. So, when I was 18, fresh out of the gate of high school, I decided I wasn't going to go to college. I was going to go start work. And, one of my cousins owned an auto shop. And so I was like, hey, I want to work for you. Like, I love cars. I'm obsessed that, you know, he raced at Vandermeer, which is one of our drag race strips up in Colorado. And so I thought I'd be working with race cars. And he's like, no, absolutely not. And so I got stuck learning how to work on Subarus first, you know, changing oil, replacing brake pads and rotors, you know, replacing brake fluid, all of the tiny little things that goes into just, you know, easy maintenance of your cars. But it was always like Subarus, and he owned like half of them. And so he was just trying to teach me how to work with Subarus. And I was like, well, I'm really good at taking care of Subarus, so I'm going to buy Subarus. So I've always had Subaru cars. And then fast forward to 2018, my second car broke down for a month and a half. Subaru put me in a Crosstrek rental. It was a Crosstrek XV, and it was like silver icy blue, and I fell in love with it. It was so much fun. And I was really devastated to give it back and then get my car back. And so when I went into the dealership to buy a new car, I was like, Crosstrek, what do you have? And then boom, there came Mushu, and it was, you know, meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was it about the Crosstrek that you really liked about it?
I really liked that it's kind of like the middle ground SUV, if that makes sense. You know, I think that's why they call it a Crosstrek. It's like a crossover. You know, the Foresters are too big. Even the older ones for me are just like a little bit too clunky. But they're beautiful. I love them. No hating on Foresters. I think they're awesome. They're just too big for me. But I had two Legacies beforehand. And so I was like, I want something that's a little bit higher off the ground. And then, and that was in my plans before I even had the Crosstrek as a rental. Like, I was saving to get a Tacoma or a 4Runner, you know, something off-road accessible. And then when I drove the Crosstrek as a rental, I was like, oh my gosh, this has like off-roading capabilities. And the month that I had it, it snowed heavily in Colorado. Like, I think it was, I think maybe a foot and a half of snow at the end, and people were getting stuck everywhere in my work parking lot. And that little Crosstrek just took off, and I was like, oh my God, these are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so it was an easy decision.
Yeah. That's really cool. And so like when you ended up getting Mushu, was like red a color you were wanting, or was it some, or were you open to different colors?
So this is the funny part about how I ended up with red as my color. I hate red. Like, I hate it. I won't wear it. I won't use it as a background for anything. I just think it's super aggressive. But when I was shopping for cars, I originally was looking for, you know, the sand color. I forget the actual name. Or a black one. Everybody loves black. And the guy that I was working with at the dealership, he was like, I know that you don't want a bright colored car, but test drive this red one. And I was like, okay. And as soon as he pulled it up, I fell in love with it. It was so bright. It was so stunning. And then just like driving around, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so special. And so it was just the way it had to be. I wasn't looking for the Red Cross trek. And then later on, meeting people in the community for the first time, they're like, did you know that this is a rare color? Like, I've been looking for this. This is the color I wanted. And then, you know, my like little boost of like serotonin, I'm like, oh, I'm so special. I have a Red Cross trek.
Yeah, having something that's not really common and is kind of unique makes it even better. It's like, oh, okay, well, then this was the right decision for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It not in a braggy way, but it does feel really good to have one of the special colors. And then I end up pulling up next to a yellow cross trek. And I'm like, oh my God, you're like the Loch Ness monster of cross trek colors. Hi.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what year is it again? And what trim level is it?
It's a 2016 cross trek. And trim level is just like the base model, but for some reason it's a little bit different on the interior. I guess with the Red cross treks, and I'm assuming with the yellow ones too, I've just never seen one on the inside. Subaru decided to add red, there's red stitching on the chairs and the steering wheel and all the leather pieces. Also like on all the plastic pieces, it goes from just like the regular black to there's red trimming. And I thought all cross treks had that. It turns out it's just the red ones and like the rare colors. Yeah. So I assume the yellow one has it too. It also came with the red floor lights, and I thought they were just like a mod that somebody before me did. But I can't take them off. Like they don't come off.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think it's like one level above base trim level, but I don't know what you would call that because it's definitely not a premium.
Yeah. No, that's cool. It's cool to have those little extra features in there with having, you know, a unique color.
Oh yeah. It definitely felt a little bit special when people were pointing it out to me and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that this is different than the rest of the cross tracks. Like that's cool.
Yeah. And so when you had two legacies, you said before, and then you bought the cross trek. So, but you didn't know about the community until you bought your cross trek.
Yeah. So, you know, working in an auto shop and, Colorado itself as a state has a ton of car community clubs. You know, I worked right across from Mike Ward Maserati and they do cars and coffee, especially in the summertime. That's a heavy influenced car meet. And I had two legacies. My first one was a 1998 Subaru Legacy wagon. It was a 5-speed stick shift and it was like nice. Dark cherry red. Yeah. So I was taking that to like the really sketchy car meets out here. but I didn't know anyone in the Subaru community. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes different car communities can be a little bit apprehensive about welcoming someone new. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to sell that car, get my legacy. Didn't do anything with that because it's a legacy. You know, it's a grandma sedan and it definitely looked like one. But when I got the cross trek, I decided, I was like, you know what? There's gotta be somebody out there like on Instagram or on Facebook or something that off-roads their cross trek. Cause I see Subarus doing crazy things all the time. There's gotta be an off-roading community because I loved off-road. And then that's when I discovered the communities through the cross trek and it just kind of blew up from there.
So did you find it through Instagram or through Facebook? I mean, how did you actually find people?
I actually found it through Instagram. I think the first person I found on Instagram was Brocos XV or the Blue Dorito. He's actually he's a lowered cross trek. So
he's a
pavement princess. Yeah, but he's out here. His name is John, the driver behind, you know, the car, but he was awesome. And I messaged him and I was like, hey, like I have a cross trek. Like, do you guys ever do meetups and stuff? And sure enough, like that Saturday, there was a Subaru meet that he was hosting. And so I showed up and that's how it kind of blossomed from there. But I did find him on Instagram. I don't remember what I searched, but it was something like Colorado cross trek or off-roading cross trek. And one of them popped up with his picture. And he was the first one to pop up. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to talk to this person. And then slowly just kind of Instagram stalked all the posts and everything and found off-roading people since he doesn't off-road, but other people do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool how you can get started in it and then kind of go down a rabbit hole and start finding other people.
Yeah.
So, and I'm guessing that when you bought your CrossCheck, did you have any intentions of doing any kind of mods at all?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I was looking for something fun to off-road. And although I had the intentions of getting a CrossTrek, I was like, I'm not keeping it stock. Like, I don't like how basic it looks if it's just, you know, regular, like if it's not modded. And I was like, I'm going to use this Subaru to go off-roading, because as much as I love a 4Runner or a Tacoma, or, you know, Jeeps are off-road capable, I need something that fits me. I know what I can handle on a trail, and I also know what I can afford as a person. So CrossTreks are super affordable. All of the mods are pretty well budgeted. You know, I think skid plates and brand new are like maybe $400 versus 4Runner skid plates are closer to the thousands. Like, that's wow. An impressive gap. Like, yeah. A lot of our lift kits are, you know, $300 versus like $1,200. And that's just for the kit, not for labor, if you end up having to do it not by yourself. So I definitely did have plans to make it an off-roading vehicle as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And then, so when did you start up did you have an Instagram page for either of your other cars, or did you have like one for yourself? But when did you start up the one for your CrossTrek?
Yeah, so I didn't have any Instagrams for my other cars, but I would post pictures of my 1998, wagon on my personal, and I think I annoyed a lot of my friends from high school.
Yeah. So I get that.
Yeah. I think they were tired of seeing the same car over and over again. They're like, is this an ad? So when I got the CrossTrek, I think I had it for like maybe 2 weeks. And then after meeting everyone, in Colorado for that Subaru meet that I initially reached out to John for, I decided to make an Instagram page. And so I made a page for my CrossTrek, and it just took off from there.
Yeah. It's, I didn't have any intentions of starting one either. And I mean, I saw that even before I bought my car, when I knew that I was going to get it, I saw that other people had Instagram pages, and it's not something that I thought that I would end up doing, but now here we are, you know?
And you love it. You love it. It's an addicting thing to do. It's just like, oh, I got to update all my friends.
Yeah, exactly. So what was the first mod on your CrossTrek?
Oh gosh, the first mod. I have to think about it. I think it came hand in hand. Sorry, I'm like looking at my car page while we talk, so that way I can keep track of everything I've done. I think my first mod was my exhaust, and I bought the nameless 4-inch exhaust from a friend out here, and for like $100, he was done using it, and he's like, here you go, like, I want you to be loud.
That's
and
good.
So I took that home and immediately popped it on, and I can't tell you where my original muffler is. It's probably rusted in someone's backyard.
Yeah. That's good that you were learning how to work on Subarus too before, you know, buying them, because then if there's work that you need to do yourself, you can do it yourself. You know, I think that's pretty awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. I enjoy the fact that I know how to at least, you know, do bare minimum maintenance. It just sucks right now because I don't have a garage, and I don't have very many tools. So I'm always like calling car friends and I'm like, hey, can I borrow your jack?
And yeah, I know how that goes. Cause I mean, I live in an apartment, so I can't really do a whole lot here. I mean, when I put my skid plates on, I was able to put the differential skid plate on and the mid skid plate by parking my car up onto a curb so that I could have a little more clearance underneath. But then putting the front skid plate on, I went to my cousin's house because he has ramps. And he had like a Dremel saw, because we cut out part of the plastic skid plate or plastic shroud that's under there, and put the other skid plate kind of on top of it, so it still covers the wheel well some. But yeah, it's not easy living in an apartment and not having a place to do stuff like washing my car. I can't take it through a car wash because I've got the basket, you know, so I have to wash it by hand. But I don't have a place here to do it. So I have to like go to my brother's house or something, or my mom's house, who lives pretty close. So But I mean, at least I have
I know,
that,
it's
but
so it's stressful.
Yeah. But it's still a pain and an inconvenience and everything. It's not like you can just like, hey, I'm parked in the driveway. I'm going to pull the hose out and wash it.
Yeah, it must be nice for everyone with a driveway and a garage, just to let y'all know I'm very jealous.
Yeah. So can you give us like a list of your mods?
Yeah, of course. So like I said, the nameless exhaust was the first one. And then came my wheels. And if I could talk about those for like a brief minute, when I decided that I was going to upgrade my wheels and my tires, I decided I'm not going to go Methods. I'm not going to go Sparco. I wanted something really unique. And it's not because I'm like trying to be different. I just think that as a unique community, more car companies need to start paying attention to the smaller off-roading vehicles. And I found this really cool company called Alpha Equipped. And they're the people that sold me my wheels, and they are the brand of Foxtrot. And they came in bronze, and my whole like color scheme is red and gold or bronze, for, you know, the Chinese royal family. And so I was super excited to get them in that color. And they're an awesome off-roading wheel. They have a dual valve system in them, which is great for off-roading. And so I got really obsessed with the fact that they look so good on my car. So I think that's probably one of my top mods that I've ever done to Mushu, but they're freaking awesome. And also, if anyone's looking for a wheel, I highly suggest them. Just messaging them on Instagram. They're a super cool company, and they always respond to any like questions or concerns you have, which I don't necessarily get from other car companies. So I enjoy the fact that they're really unique, and they've started paying attention to the Crosstrek community. They actually just sponsored another orange Crosstrek and gave him orange versions of the Foxtrots that I have.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was super cool. Yeah, I know. I was so excited when they messaged me, and they're like, hey, do you know any orange Crosstreks that want to update their wheels? And I was like, oh my God, I know like 8. Yes.
Is that Go Trekking?
Yeah, he's super cool. And I was so excited to see him get orange wheels. I was like, oh, the community's growing. But it's cool to see that they're paying attention to these smaller off-roading vehicles that wouldn't necessarily have a lot of options. We already complain about that as Crosstreks, is there's not a lot of variety. But now there's this, you know, wheel company out here that is offering unique different wheels that support off-roading. So I love that, and I love them, and I love how unique they look. But now I'm going down a rabbit hole.
No, it's okay.
After my I do it all the time unintentionally, so I'm so sorry. I have my Grim Speed license plate leap, but I don't know if that technically counts as a mod. I think it's just an accessory in my mind. I also have, sorry, I'm looking at my list. I've also like, it's not, I don't really consider it a mod, but everything's plasti dip bronze. You know, I kind of removed all of the chrome on my car, but I didn't want to do blackout because I love red and black. I think it's a really classy look. But I wanted Mushu to just look different. And I wanted to do something a little bit more related to Mushu's name. And Mushu is from Mulan, and Mulan is from China. So I was like, okay, royal family, red and gold. So everything is kind of like bronzed out because gold shows up as yellow. I found that out the hard way. So everything's plasti dipped. And then I have my taillight layovers from Accent Trek Designs. She's an awesome lady. Love her to death.
Yes,
and
she is.
She let me test out the, she's so sweet too. She let me try out the hexagon black overlays, and they work awesome. I have so many people like with regular Crosstreks just ask me where I got them. And I'm like, oh, she's on Etsy. So it's fun to talk about that. I have my tow hook in the back that's bronze. I don't know if that counts as a mod.
Yeah, sure.
And then I have, perfect, we'll add it. And then my most recent mod is my headlights, which they're the newer like halogen blackout headlights from Amazon.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So I guess, I mean, you kind of, seems like you alluded to it a little bit, but would you say that the wheels are your favorite mod?
Yeah, I would. Sorry, I'm totally like taking all the questions and combining them.
No, that's fine.
My wheels are definitely my favorite mod. I think they're like my proudest moment, because when 2009, I got my wheels. My friend that worked at, he actually works at Mike Ward Maserati. He let me go into the, you know, into the bay and put my car up on the lift. And so we changed the wheels out together. And just seeing my car come down off of the lift with its new wheels, its new shoes, I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, my off-roading dreams are finally coming true. Like, I can go through snow. I can go through mud. Like, it's not those, I love Subaru, but it's not those ugly cross-trek wheels that I hate. You know, and it's got bigger tires on it. And I was just so excited to see them on. And even to this day, when I get them clean, I'm just like, oh my God, they're so hot.
Yeah, no, they look really, really good. I mean, the bronze and the red looks really good together. Yeah. And the dual valve stem, when Cecil was talking to us about his wheels and he was telling us about that, I was like, whoa, I never heard of that before, that they had, you know, dual valve stems, but that makes a lot of sense, especially for off-roading purposes.
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't know that when I bought them, because when I was looking at them, it wasn't really highlighted. And then, you know, when I got them, I was like, oh, this is a dual valve system. That's freaking cool, because you don't usually get that necessarily. And I also like the fact that, you know, it's something that people, when they walk up to your wheel, they're like, oh, no way. And it's just a small detail, you know, and I think Alpha Equipped really focuses on what people in their community want, and they deliver on that, you know. And so I love the fact that they deliver on that, and I love the fact that they look so good and they handle really well. I took them to Moab and I've taken them to trails on Colorado, and there's not a scratch on there, and they're bronze. Like, I was expecting to see scratches,
yeah,
because I know I've scraped some stuff, and they're totally fine. They look like they're brand new when they're clean.
That's awesome. That's really good. Yeah, so that's a very durable wheel then.
Oh, absolutely.
So are there any mods that you've done that you wish you could redo?
Yeah, specifically my headlights. They look super cool in photos and they work really well at night. I would not suggest buying parts from Amazon, but I had seen other people from my gen of Crosstrek buying them, and I was like, oh, okay, so they work, but they're not retrofitted right. And so if you ever get close enough to Mushu, you can see that the front bumper no longer clips in underneath the headlight where it should. And there's ways to fix that. And I'm not too stressed about it because I plan to cut my bumper eventually. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, I wish it would fit perfectly, mostly because I'm OCD with it. But if I could redo it again, I would do the Fox Beam headlights. They do custom headlights and taillights for everyone. I'd go that route. They're way cooler, and they'd probably be worth the money versus now I have $200 headlights that I don't necessarily enjoy, but they work and there's no going back now.
Yeah, I guess you could at some point, but you'd have to probably wait a while for it, huh?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, after two nights of sitting in my cold driveway, well, not even driveway, like the cold street that I live on, trying to pop a headlight in, yeah, I don't want to do it again. I'm good. They can just sit there and look wonky. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. So what do you like about your first gen Crosstrek compared to like the second gen? And then what kind of things do you like about the second gen that maybe you wish the first gen had?
Oh gosh, that's hard because both of them are just like so special. I mean, for the first gens, I think they're just like the start of the legacy that Crosstreks are. I personally like how the fog lights look. I know that's such a small detail, but I like how they look on the first gens better than the second gens. We just get that little like L-shaped bracket around the fog lights as a first gen that we can, you know, plasti dip, vinyl wrap, whatever you want to do to it. Most people end up cutting those pieces off anyway. But I like that you can customize that versus like the second gens don't have that. If they just have the shape to it.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like it. I also like the smaller taillights. I don't know why. I just think they make it look like fun and sporty. But I mean, even with the second jets, like I like how their taillights look. I like that they're like sleek and long. You know, but I also just in general like that the second gens have more options for mods versus first gens kind of got left behind, because by the time our like, you know, modding criteria kind of took off, all the second gens were starting to come out. And so all these companies were like, well, it doesn't make much sense to make a ton of first gen, you know, equipment, because now it's all second gen stuff. I could be wrong, but that's how it feels like. So I kind of feel like the ugly duckling when it comes to mods, because I'm having to like search Instagram or like weird eBay options versus everyone else can like go to an off-roading website because they're second gen and just order it. Must be nice.
Yeah. 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 When you mentioned the taillights, that was one of the things that I always really liked about the first gen. And then when they changed it, you know, when I saw the second gen, I was like, no, they like ruined the headlight. Yeah. I mean, the taillights, like I love them so much. Yeah. Like just the whole back of the car is kind of what made it for me. It looked so different than anything else. But like now having a second gen, like I love the way the back of my car looks. It looks kind of wide and I like the taillights, and I like that Gen came up with some, you know, really nice stuff for the second gen taillights. Cause I have the like holographic small hexagon overlays, and they look so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
they do.
That was one of the things that I really, really liked about the first gen when I first saw them was the back of the car and the taillights. And then they changed it. But now it's like, I think I like the second gen more than the first gen. So, because it's just, I don't know. It's, but yeah, I mean, they both are great cars either way.
Oh, I agree. I think it's nice to, you know, one of my closest friends out here, she's got a second gen Crosstrek. And so it's nice to just, whenever we hang out, I like, we'll always look at the back end and I'll kind of like shuffle between both of them. Like, well, they both look really good. Like, I don't hate either one of them, but you know, you kind of compare and contrast me like, dang, I still like the smaller taillights. There's just something about it that made it look so unique and kind of like buggy, kind of almost like it's like a 4x4 to me. So I was like, cool. All right, like it's meant to be an off-road, but yeah. I mean, to each their own.
Yeah, no, I agree. If there was one, or if you were told that you had to get rid of all of your mods except for one, which would you keep?
Oh gosh, that's really hard. Not that I have many, but I think I'd for sure keep my wheels, just because even if I had to like scrap everything else and I was told that I couldn't mod my car, I had to get rid of all of them, at least my wheels are useful in the aspect of where I live. I live in Colorado. Like it's muddy, it's snowy, it's icy. You know, the trails up here are, they can be a piece of work. You know, so it's nice to have the trust in my vehicle, and that's all because of the wheels and the tires, you know? So I think I'd probably keep those above everything else, because like as much as I love my exhaust or all my Plastidip or all my other plans for modding, the wheels come first. I can't get rid of those of my dead body.
Yeah. So what other plans or what other mods do you still have plans for?
Yeah, so they're on the list for the summer, just because, you know, when you don't have a garage or anything, it's hard to kind of do things in your street. Especially in snow and water.
Yeah.
But I plan to get it lifted and put skid plates on, just because it's fine now, like as a stock Crosstrek, and I don't have skid plates. Like I took it, on a Soft Road Nation Colorado meet, and there was some guys in a Tacoma, and there was another guy in a Ford, and then some guy in a Honda, all super cool. And they're making fun of me at first, and they're like, oh, well, your stock height and you don't have skid plates, are you gonna be okay? And Mushu did fine.
Yeah.
I definitely surprised a bunch of, you know, off-roading men, you know, like with these big cars.
I
know its limit. I know Mushu's limits right now. And there's been some sketchy moments where I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just like took out the bottom part of my car. All of it is damaged. So skid plates for sure, and a lift. I think I want to do a 2-inch just to kind of give it some space in my wheel wells.
Yeah.
I definitely want to cut. Yeah, it doesn't rub, thank God, but it definitely doesn't leave much room for space So like when it snows a lot, the snow will build up and you just hear the like rubbing of the snow between my tire and the wheel well. And you're like, ugh, it's almost a painful sound. And then after that, I want to cut my bumper and then, kind of add all of my Baja design lights ideas that I have, but I need to invest in brackets first. And so it's just like all the steps that I want to mod my car aren't just like a, okay, order this one thing. And anyone with a Crosstrek can understand. It's like a A, B, C process just for this one item.
Yeah.
So
A, B, C to get to D.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. It's just a lot. So I think after that, you know, doing the lift and the skid plates and the lights, I think I'll slow down for a little while and then cut the bumper just because, you know, if you decide to sell the Crosstrek, which I don't plan on doing, but if I need to, when I show up with a cut bumper and they're like, where'd your fog lights go? I'd be like, but look at these Baja on the top. Like,
yeah. Who needs fog lights?
Find me very entertaining. Exactly. They're going to be like, you know, this car is like meant for grandmas, right? And be like, but I am an old lady in my mind, so it's fine. but I'm sure they don't want to see a cut bumper. So we'll hold on to that for a little bit.
Yeah. So do you get like compliments on your build when you go out and stuff?
In a non-braggy way, yeah. I think I've seen like more people that like have Toyotas and stuff. I've gotten stopped by a couple of 4Runners and Tacomas and a guy in like a RAV4 that he had like built for off-roading. Just like at stoplights or whatever, they'll like wave at me and they'll be like, I love your wheels, or like, I like the sound of your exhaust. Like some guy yelled that at me and I was like, thank you, it's a Crosstrek.
That's cool, though.
You know, but yeah, it's really nice. And it's just a compliment to get recognized for your build. When I had my first two cars, I was in love with the car community. I loved what people were doing with their cars, but I didn't have that opportunity. So now with Mushu and having this like new to me car that I could build to be off-road capable and having people recognize that just randomly, I take into consideration so highly. And I just feel so appreciative of the fact that people notice.
Yeah. It's always nice too when you get somebody kind of looking at your car when you're driving by somewhere and they're kind of turning their head and following you along. So I've had that happen a few times and I'm like, it's okay to look.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can look at me.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I had a girl last summer, my windows were down and her and her dad like pulled up next to me and she had to be like middle school age. And from the passenger side window, she like yells at me and she goes, is your car named after the dragon from Mulan? And I was like, yes, it is. Thank you for noticing. And then I sped off and I was like, that just made my day that somebody understood where I was coming from. Like, she didn't care about the mods on my car or that my car was loud. She was just excited that it was named after a dragon from a Disney movie. And that made my day.
Yeah. It's cool to get compliments and just any kind of recognition of the fact that you've put something into your car and you've put your kind of heart into it and are expressing yourself through your car, you know, and that's kind of what comes down to is a lot of people are, it's not just like, oh, hey, I just want to throw this stuff on my car. It's like an extension of yourself, you know, and that's what mm-hmm. makes everybody's build unique because it kind of speaks to who you are as a person.
Oh, absolutely.
So do you have an opportunity to do the Subi wave with other people?
I think I'm really obnoxious. Like I try and Subi wave every single chance I get. It's kind of a bummer because not everyone waves back and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I look too excited. Maybe I look crazy, but I'll make sure all my windows are down and like try and get their attention if they're on the passenger side of me. But a lot of times I try and wave just because I want people to know that Crosstreks are part of the Subaru community. We are as cool as WRX or STIs, you know, the Foresters. We deserve the attention too. So please make friends with your Crosstrek community.
Yeah, I was going through the parking lot of the grocery store a few weeks ago, and there was a woman that was loading some groceries into, and it was like she was older than me. And she was loading some groceries into the back of her Forester, and I rolled my window down and I just did the Subi wave and I was like, hey, how's it going? And she was like, hi. And I was like, she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, this is called the Subi Wave. And she was like, oh, thanks. Thanks for letting me know. I didn't know that. So, and then I was like, have a nice day. And then I drove off, you know, it was like, I'm trying to get, because like, there's so many daily drivers out here that I don't think they would even know what the Subi Wave is. And so I have come across a few people that have, you know, a modded cross or a modded Subaru of some sort. And I've given them a Subi Wave and they do it back, but it doesn't happen very often out here. So it's cool when I get an opportunity to do that, you know, and have somebody do it back and they know what it is.
Oh yeah. And then you taught that lady like what it is. So now she can pass it on. Like, I think that's the biggest thing is like, if people don't know, like I've definitely like thrown the Subi Wave to like stock Crosstrek owners and they look at me like I'm crazy until they like look the car up and down and they're like, oh, this is something different.
Yeah. yeah. Wait, what are you doing with your fingers? Peace to you too.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Except there was a really cool couple like on the highway, like when I first got my Crosstrek. So I was also stock. They were like an older, like middle-aged couple, like maybe in their 60s. And they like rolled the window down as I came up on them. They did the peace sign out of like both of their windows. I was like, oh my gosh, like look at you guys for knowing your community. Good job.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
I know it felt special.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have that recognition and that connection with somebody when you're cruising down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So where have been some of your favorite places that you've gone with your Crosstrek?
Oh, there's a lot. I've definitely adventured. Well, maybe not as many as maybe not as much as other people. I think Moab is probably one of my favorite places I took Mushu. When I first started off-roading, I was just off-roading with other people. Like I didn't have a car to do that with.
Okay.
And so at the time, like 2 years ago, I went with a boyfriend and he had a 4Runner and we were off-roading and everything. And I was like, I am determined to come back here and I want to off-road my own car. And when I bought Mushu, it made that an opportunity. So this past October, I took some friends and myself and we went to Moab and we did Gemini Bridges and we did another like little tiny trail that I don't remember the name of, but we were able to do it as Crosstrek since Moab is a little bit difficult. You know, it's not a beginner's game for sure with some of the trails out there, but it definitely was my favorite. And Mushu went out there looking red like a cherry and came back looking orange like the desert. And so it was really exciting to take it out there and get it covered in desert mud. I think that was probably the best place I've ever taken it.
Yeah. I mean, they look so good when they're clean, but then like when you go out and you're able to get through some mud or some dirt or something and it's like, okay, now it looks like what this car was meant to do, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I refused to wash it. Like I let the snow clean off Mushu. I kept that mud on there for as long as possible.
Yeah. And I've had so many people talk about Moab and I don't really know anything about it and I've never looked it up and I keep meaning to, and I just keep forgetting. So I know it's like kind of like the Mecca place to go and off-road and everything, but I just, I've never looked it up or anything. So I need to look into that.
Definitely do it. I think some people say it's overrated and in some ways it's probably like a touristy off-roading place. But in different ways, I just think it's a very peaceful place to go. I think the community that off-roads there or makes it a choice to off-road there, they know how to respect the land. They know how to respect other drivers. And it's a different challenge. You know, wherever you come from, I'm sure Texas is probably a different kind of desert, a different kind of sand. You know, but coming from Colorado, where it's mostly, you know, snow and mud and then really hard terrain, some sharp rocks and steep ledges. To switch it up and go to Moab, where it's some of the softest sand you'll ever walk in. It's super hot. It's super technical. But it's also super historical. I love interacting with that and I love going there. So definitely make it a point to go to Moab if you can. Take Pearl to Moab and change her from white to orange.
Yeah. So what is your favorite type of terrain to drive through? Because you've said mud, you've said snow, and now there's sand out there, and then there's just, you know, trails. But what is your favorite thing to drive through?
Oh, gosh. Definitely, I think either mud or sand. I think mud and sand go, you know, hand in hand, depending on where you're at. Colorado's a lot of rock and snow for most of the time out here. So I don't entirely enjoy that just because I know it can go wrong. I've seen it go wrong personally. Yeah. And I don't mess with that, you know, but in Moab, it's soft sand and like these fun mud puddles. And it's a different kind of challenge. And I like that I get to air down and air up and, you know, have squishy tires on the sand. That sounds so dumb, but I love it. I love sand.
No, that's cool. Have you ever gotten stuck?
No, I have never gotten stuck in Mushu. And it's quite impressive because I've seen other like stronger off-roading vehicles get stuck in snow or get stuck in sand and mud, or they like come close to falling off the side of a cliff in Colorado, and it's like,
yeah,
that's scary. Not gonna do that.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, but it is nice that I've never gotten it stuck. You know, there's been some close calls where I'm like, oh, but no, she's never gotten stuck.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. So if you could travel to any place in the world to go like off-roading or hit some trails, where would you want to go?
That's a good one. There's so many options. I heard that the PNW is like super nice. I think it's just like a beautiful environment to be in, even if there's not a ton of trails out there, which from what I hear there is. But even if there wasn't, at least if I could get to a place where it's like a nature walk or a hike or something, I think that'd be enjoyable because at least Mushu got me there. Or Washington to hang out with the Rugged Road crew. They're just so cool. And I'd love to trail with them and see what they're doing. I also like really want to go to Nevada and hang out with Nevada XB and all of his Nevada treks. Cause yeah, that's sand, that's desert. That's my game, you know? So I want to see what that's like out there. So just literally all over. I just want to go everywhere.
Yeah, me too. I mean, everything's is so far for me too, which is, I'm like in such a bad spot because I'm like right in the middle of everything that's good, you know? So anywhere, like if I want to go to Colorado or Nevada or Utah or something, I mean, it's like hours and hours away. So I'm kind of in a bad spot. I mean, I'm like in the worst spot to own a Subaru that has the capability of going off-road, but
yeah,
I'm thankful to be here.
At least it's like a goal set. Yeah, exactly. Like you're happy to be there, but in a way, you being there gives you the opportunity to make sure that you plan trips. Like, I'm in a state where there's a lot to do and I avoid it half of the time versus you can set these opportunities to be like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go to Colorado. I'm going to do this trail and then I'm going to make a memory of it. Or, you know, Washington, California, Nevada, wherever you want to go, you have it in your head that you have to go do that or otherwise you're not going to get to do it, you know, because you don't have it accessible.
Yeah, I definitely want to go back to Colorado. That was a lot of fun. And it wasn't,
do it.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, you know, to get there. So that was a good thing. But so talking about Mushu, what is like, not including anything that's a mod, but like what's your favorite interior feature about your Crosstrek?
Oh, anything that's not a mod. Can it be something that I put in there myself?
That's a mod,
like,
isn't
does
it?
That count?
I mean, just like anything that like the way the car comes as stock. Like, what is your favorite thing about the interior?
Honestly, I just like the look of it. Like, for it being the base model Crosstrek, and for it being, you know, like a regular like small SUV, I think they look really classy. At least in my mind, even though some people don't like the tan interior, for some of the Crosstreks they come tan. I like it. I think they look a little bit upscale for being a Subaru. You know, when people get in, they're like, "Oh, your car's so nice." And I'm like, "Thank you. It does feel like a Mercedes in here, doesn't it?"
Yeah. And then, so what about the exterior? Same thing. Not including mods, just the way that a Crosstrek comes as a first gen stock. Like, what is your favorite feature on the exterior?
That one's hard too. I think just the design of how it looks. It's like super sleek from head to toe. I think that when Subaru looked at how they wanted to build the exterior, you know, build the shell of a Crosstrek, I think they realized that even though it was going to be a small SUV, but also kind of be like this hybrid, I think they just did really well about building the shape of it. I don't know why, but I like the look of how Crosstrek look. They're just like this sporty little, you know, tiny little 4x4 in my mind. So I would say just the build, like all together.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I really like the way they look. So good answer. If you, is there anything about your Crosstrek that you don't like?
The speed.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common answer.
Every Crosstrek owner. Yeah, I just, you know, it's nice, and not to say that it won't go fast, because here's my problem. It's a slow car, and so like merging on the highway takes everything in Mushu to just accelerate to see even remotely reach what other speeds people are going. But once you get it up to speed, it'll hold it. Like if you get it up to 80, it'll go 80.
Yeah. Yeah, it will.
I just wish it. Yeah, exactly. We all know. It's a light car. It'll keep pace. But I definitely wish that Subaru would invest in making it a stronger engine, or at least remotely trying to figure out how to throw a turbo in there would be a fun creative process. But
yeah, without having to buy the sport.
A girl can dream. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, I just think that all the like base model Crosstreks deserve to have some kind of speed other than slow and furious.
Yeah. If you were told that you had to swap to another Subaru model today, what would it be and why?
I think it would be a BRZ, just because I like how they look.
Yeah, those are nice.
They're fun. Yeah, and people pick on me. My boyfriend picks on me because he drives an STI, but he picks on me for wanting a BRZ. But I'm like, they're beautiful looking. I don't really care about the speed or like their engineering per se. If I had the opportunity to just have one, I would just have one. I think they're just beautiful looking, and for them to be a Subaru sports car, I think is super cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the BRZ. I do kind of find it odd though that it's the only one that's not all-wheel drive, and I want to find out why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we need to interview somebody that's like an engineer at Subaru and be like, can you explain this please?
Yeah, it's a good idea. Hey Subaru, come
I'm
on
sure, yeah, you're hearing this.
Yeah. All right, so give,
yeah, I mean, it's still great though.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know that until just recently, like maybe a couple of months ago. I didn't know that it was just rear wheel drive, so I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
Please do. Let me know.
All right. If so, give a list of three people in the community that you haven't met in person that you would most like to hang out with or hit some trails with.
Definitely Battle Wagon, or Patrick. He's in California, and he's somebody that, when I started my Instagram page, he was always talking to me. And so he's definitely number one. Like, I have to meet Battle Wagon. I have to see that Subaru in person and, you know, finally give Patrick the long awaited hug that we both deserve. Cause it's just been emotional support system for each other. I definitely want to meet, Journey XB. He's super cool. John has spent some time in Colorado, and he was on your podcast. Such a sweet guy. His girlfriend's amazing too. And the adventures that he goes on, I just want him to take me. I just want to experience it. So for sure planning to meet him one day, and he knows it. I'm like, dude, I just got to come see you. Like, let's hang out. And then for third, shoot, this one is so hard, but I think Go Adventure. I think I'd hang out with Bailey. He's one of the nicest people I've ever talked to. Just an all around really cool guy. Like, he's so knowledgeable about the Subarus and how they're built, like mechanically, and how they're engineered, and how he's modded his Crosstrek to be safe versus this kind of like, oh, well, you know, zip ties will hold it and it'll be fine, so it looks good for the gram. He's like, no, you need to do it this way, so that way it doesn't fall apart. He's just such a nice guy, and like whenever I have a question, he's there for me. So I definitely like want to meet him, and I definitely want to trail with him, because the places that he goes are just impeccable for a Crosstrek to be going. So I definitely need to meet him too.
Yeah. Those are good people too. I met him out there when they had the Soft Road Nation 1 year anniversary. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I didn't really know what a lot of the people looked like. I knew their cars. And so I was like, hey, where is so-and-so? And I would ask, their Instagram name, and they'd be like, oh, they're over there, because a lot of those people out there knew each other. So I got introduced to a lot of people that day. So that was fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Would you say is the craziest place you've been with your cross trek? And then what's the furthest distance you've driven?
Actually both of those questions go together. The farthest I've driven so far with Mushu is Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's definitely the craziest place I've gone to, because I really wanted to see the strip for the first time this summer. And so my friends were like, well, you drove out here, let's take Mushu so you can get some pics. And I ended up driving Mushu down the road of the strip, or I don't even remember what the road is called, but I drove it down the strip, and just ever so casually, there was a bunch of sports cars out. And so I'm hanging out the window of my cross truck being like, oh my God, hi. And it was so cool. And people are taking pictures of my car, and it didn't make any sense. But it was definitely the craziest moment too, because I'm like, why am I driving my cross truck down the strip right now? What is this doing for me? But it was also the farthest I've ever gone, and I've made that drive twice now.
Oh,
so
wow.
Mushu has some miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. To say the least, I love my friends, so I will always drive 12 hours to go to Vegas if it means I get to see them.
Yeah, no, that's always good to go see friends, you know?
Yeah.
So what is something that you always have in your car?
Oh gosh. It's silly, but gum. Always gum.
Me too.
I should probably have there you go. I should probably have more car related things, but I have my security toolbox, just in case. I also have my first aid kit, but I definitely always have gum. More than anything else, people run to me during car meets and they're like, do you have gum? And I'm like, that's a stupid question. Yes. What flavor do you want?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something good to have in your car. I mean, nothing wrong with that one. And then where would you rather be? Mountains, beach, or the desert?
Oh, that's a hard one. I feel like if I don't say mountains, I'm cheating on my state. Nobody tell my mom, because she's a native. But I think desert, I love it. I think it's a different experience. I love mountains. I love driving through them. I'm born in Colorado. I absolutely adore the fact that I can look out any window and I can see the mountains no matter where I go.
Very envious here.
I don't sorry. No, I didn't mean to brag.
No, I love that. I think that's awesome.
It's so cool. But when you drive through the mountains and you're trailing, it can feel very encapsulating. It feels very tight and you can't see super far beyond the point that you're at, right? Which is something that scares me, honestly, with Colorado trails. And so I love the desert. I love that I can see super far. So I know if somebody's coming down the trail opposite way, or I can see if people are catching up to me. It's an open bowl aspect mostly, which I appreciate. And just the colors of the desert. Mountains are pretty. Don't get me wrong. I love them.
Yeah.
But the desert is just something unique and something to behold. So I love the desert for sure.
Yeah. For me, I mean, living in Houston, it's so flat, and I've lived here my whole life, but I've traveled for work and I've had the opportunity to go to Colorado and San Diego and some other places, Utah. So I've had the opportunity to see some mountains, and I would absolutely love to live somewhere where mountains are. But I was kind of curious because, the fact that you appreciate the mountains is really nice, because I've often wondered, for people that grew up in the mountains or around mountains, are they it's just mountains? Or are they looking out their window every day, wow, this is beautiful. I'm so thankful and blessed to be here.
Yeah, it's actually it goes hand in hand. One of my friends, Elsa, the Outback, Kate, he's from, I believe, Tennessee. He's from flat. So I make fun of them all the time, and I'll send like Snapchat pictures of the mountains. So like, look how beautiful they look today. And he gets super jealous, which is fine. They're beautiful. But since you see them every day, I think the sparkle that comes from that kind of dissipates after a while. And you're like, I've already been there 8 billion times. I know what they look like with snow and a sunset. Yes, it's beautiful, but I don't have a desert. So I want to go see that, you know, or I don't have a beach. I definitely want to go see that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. So I like that. What would you say has been your biggest lesson you've learned with your Subaru journey?
I definitely preach this one all the time, especially to people that follow me that are brand new to their car journey. Take it at your own pace. I think a lot of us in the community want to be built, and we want to be better. We want to look big and beautiful. We want to have the new stuff that everyone else has, right? I'm definitely that person. I rushed to try and change my look. And I think that's mostly why I bought these really crappy $200 headlights from Amazon. Like, I wanted to look different, and I was tired of OEM headlights, and I regret it because that's a waste of $200. Like, that's a waste of money. You know, there's cosmetic details that I've had to do over and over again because I was rushing for it to look like everyone else. You know, and like, I bought my wheels. Definitely should have budgeted a little bit more, especially if you're like planning to do a big off-roaded build, you know, an off-roading build. Take it at your own pace. Like, you're not racing anybody to have the biggest and baddest Crosstrek or Forester or Outback out there, or WRX. There is lifted WRXs too. I don't know why I leave them out. You know, you don't have to get everything at one time. And I think the journey to your build is also a great aspect. I think sometimes I rush. And so now, sitting at this pace of my car is built, but it's not where I want to be, it's a nice, temptation of being like, okay, now I have goals that I can set, and I'm going to reach it little by little instead of having this fully built out Subaru and then looking at it super bored because I don't have anything to do with it. Like, I can go take it somewhere, but now I don't have any mods left because I've done them all, and I don't want to waste the money to redo them.
Yeah. I mean, I think taking your time to do it is a really good point. And like, for a long time, I wanted to have, you know, different tires and different wheels and everything. And I ended up getting there, and now I have the rooftop basket, and I have different rails. I have like the Iron Man 4x4 quick release system for my awning. Got my tire up top, which I think is really, really cool. I just love the way the tire looks on top. It makes it look like an off-road build. And so, but now I'm kind of stuck because I don't really need anything else right now because I'm not really doing anything. So if I were to do anything else right now, I think it would be more cosmetic, but I don't really have to do anything. So I'm really happy with where I'm at with my build. Since I'm not really going anywhere, there's nothing functional out of anything else that I would do. You know, if I lived in the desert, or if I lived in the mountains, or, you know, by a bunch of trails, then I might need some more stuff. I might need toe straps, you know, or... I mean, I have skid plates, but I mean, like, or, you know, a lift kit. I mean, I have a lift kit that's still sitting here in my closet. I just don't have anybody to help me put it on. So that's the other hard part is, like, I don't really have the resources, and, you know, and I don't really want to take it to a shop and pay the money to have somebody do it, especially I don't really need to right now. I mean, I think right now, if I were to do the lift, it would be more just to have it sitting up higher and kind of give it more of that off-road look. But it wouldn't really be anything functional to do right now. Mm-hmm. But it would be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
So do you have any hobbies outside of what you do with your Subaru?
I'm so excited for this question. Outside of the Subaru, my life kind of circles around jujitsu. And it's
nice.
Brazilian martial arts. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, actually, because you've done it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing in the world. I love jujitsu, and I think I annoy all of my friends and family because I not only talk about it, but like I do it to my boyfriend, my friends all the time, or like my roommates. I'm like, can I borrow you real quick? I learned this new move and I just need your head like right here. And they're like, no, you're going to choke me. And I'm like, and
yeah,
like,
that, I just that's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Be like, it's all about choking people out here. Like just come here. Yeah. But that's like my big hobby outside of the Subaru community. And like, that's another community of people that unless I had gotten into it, I would have never met them. You know, they would not be part of my life. And so I absolutely adore that community too, because they're just another group of supportive people in a different way. So I love that as part of my life.
How long have you been training?
Around 8 months.
Okay.
So it's been almost a year. I'm a one stripe white belt. So if I sound like I know what I'm talking about, I don't. And please remind me of that.
It's okay. I mean, one of my favorite things about when I trained is if you were having a really bad day and you're going to go train that night, it's like as soon as you get on the mat, everything else disappears. And your focus is just on the mat, just on your opponent. And I remember I'd been training for like maybe 6 months or so, and I had to go out of town for work. And so I wasn't able to train, I think, for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I came back. And I told my professor, I was like, I miss feeling beat up and sore and having like bruises on me and everything. And he was like, it makes you feel alive, doesn't it? And I was like, yeah, actually it does.
Yes, 100%. That's exactly how it feels. And I love that, you know, like that feeling, because you try and explain it to somebody that doesn't know that, or they play a sport, you know, that you're not paying people to physically beat you up. I think that's the funniest part, is telling people like, oh, I pay people to beat the crap out of me. Jiu-jitsu makes you feel connected to yourself in such a different way. And although it's a very strong physical sport, it's also very mental. It is a game of chess with two bodies. And I think in the 8 months that I've been doing it, it's definitely helped my mental state a lot, especially on bad days. You know, I started jiu-jitsu when I was working in a retirement community, and I worked at the retirement community the entire length of the pandemic, up until September of this year. That's a lot of stress for a young person to go through. And it's a lot of disconnect. You know, I went from doing something every single night. And pre-COVID, I was into aerial, so like Cirque du Soleil. You know, that was a fun sport, but it wasn't connecting at all emotionally for me. So to go from doing something every single night to not having anything, and, you know, being in a pandemic, serving the most at risk, it was very draining and it was very heartbreaking. And it was the most stressed I had ever felt. And then my roommate and best friend's sister does jiu-jitsu, and she said, you know what, you should just come try the class. And sure enough, like after the first class, I was like, oh my God, I feel so much better now that I've like physically gotten it out of me, that I'm upset. And it's enjoyable. And, you know, you meet people that are going through different walks of life but are also struggling mentally, or they've realized that this is their outlet. And, you know, they encourage you to continue to come, even if you're not good at it, even if it takes forever to learn what you're doing, AKA me, they encourage you to show up every day. They encourage you to take the at-home classes and study videos and stuff. And I think that's the fun part, is you have people to hold you accountable to. So you continue to better yourself. And I think that's why I love jiu-jitsu so much. Sorry, I totally went down a rabbit hole.
No, but I mean, I'm going to continue with it, because I like how, because my brother was training. My brother's a black belt, by the way, and he's like he's really, really good. Like if he decided to do jiu-jitsu as kind of like a career, he would have been like at the top of, you know, like the elites in the world. I mean, he's that good. But
I gotta meet
so
him.
I just had to throw it out there. But anyway, so I'm like, I'm proud of him for that. I'm proud to be able to say that. But no, like what he was telling me is like when you're training, like let's say you have two white belts, you could have somebody that is a janitor somewhere, and somebody that's like an entertainment attorney or something, you know, or like a high level attorney or whatever, and when they get on the mat, they're the same level. You know, it doesn't matter how much money this person makes over here or how much influence this person makes or has over here. When you get on the mat, there's no status, you know, there's no like,
absolutely.
I mean, you become on the same level. I mean, even if you're, you know, unless you're like a higher level belt, but it's just, and that there's, you're right. I mean, there's like, you cannot explain jiu-jitsu. There's nothing else like it out there. You know, I mean, it's similar to being in the Subaru community, because unless you are in the community and you have these great connections with people outside of our Subaru community, they just don't understand. They don't know what it's like. And that's the same way for jiu-jitsu, but jiu-jitsu is different because it's very physical and mental. It's very technical and it can be very difficult at times. But even if you lose over and over and over again, it's not like you get mad about it. You know, you just learn from it and then you're grateful for that experience and for the physicality of it and the mental, what it does for you mentally.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely, you just encapsulated it perfect. I love how you explained that right there, because I have a hard time finding my words. So I feel like I just babble about it all the time, but you definitely explained it. But what I love most about jiu-jitsu, and it was actually my first competition I ever went to just as a spectator for one of my teammates, it was this mom holding a sign that said, in jiu-jitsu, there is no losing, only learning or winning. Yeah. And I love that I'm in this continual phase of learning. You know, one of these days I'll win, but I love that everyone just comes to the mat to learn and to be better than they were yesterday. And I think we do that almost as Subi people, where we rely on each other to share information or to grow or learn from other people's experiences to impact our builds and impact how we maintenance our cars or how we take our Subaru journey. So it definitely goes hand in hand, both of those being hobbies. And I'm glad that they both have the same aspects.
Yeah, because I mean, with like I said earlier on, when you're new in the community, if you have questions and stuff, you know, you can reach out to people. And it can be intimidating sometimes, because you might reach out to somebody Absolutely. That has like a lot of followers and you're like, I really love their build and what they did and this. And like, I really want to ask them a question, but I'm kind of afraid to message them. But then you message them and then they message you back and you're like, oh my God, wow, they messaged me back. I'm so excited. You know, so it's really cool to how supportive the Subaru community is and how welcome, as somebody that's new to the community, how welcomed other people make you feel. And so I think that's one of the biggest surprises that people may have coming into this community, is like they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to start. And then all of a sudden, all these people come together to help them out and answer their questions. And then they're like, oh my God, what did I just get myself into? You know, this is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So it's really cool to be a part of this. And it's cool to, you know, I don't have like a ton of followers with my car and everything. And I don't have like the coolest build. I don't have, my pictures are not great. You know, I don't have like some big influence with my car. I mean, I know some people like it and everything, which is cool, but I like that I'm able to bring something to the community with the podcast and something new and different. And I wasn't expecting it to be where it is now.
Exactly. You know, I think you're discrediting yourself there. I think you're a bigger impact on the community than you think. So give yourself credit, but I agree with you. I think we all, as you know, Subaru owners, impact the community and we inspire other people. The last Subaru meet I was at, this kid with a new Outback, he literally got his license like 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
He's like, I saw on this person's Instagram that you guys are meeting and I wanted to see if there was Outbacks here. And I was like, well, there's that one. And do you follow Kanga the Roo? Do you follow this person? Do you follow this person? He's like, no. And I'm like, follow them because they will inspire you. And sure enough, he's like, oh my gosh, they're so cool. I'm like, you're not even in the beginning yet. Like, just keep scrolling. Like, you're going to find people to inspire you so much more, kid. Like, go for it, you know? But that's what we do. We inspire each other and we support.
Yeah. And it's really cool to see other people that are new in the community get excited about being in the community and getting excited about doing their first mod and they want to share it, you know, and it's, I mean, you don't get the, oh my gosh, you're going to do this or do that or whatever, you know, it's like everybody is excited for you. And, you know, and you don't get the, if you go to a meet like that, like him didn't have any mods, you know, you don't get the, oh, you're not welcome here because you don't have any mods on your car. It's like, no, please come join us. Come talk to us. You know, we want to learn about you. Why did you buy your Outback? You know? So it's just,
absolutely.
Everybody wants to know about each other's builds and their reasons for it and all that kind of stuff. So what about your cross trick best matches your personality?
That's debatable. I think it's the color, because the color is fiery and it stands out. And I've never been one to be a wallflower. I'm very outgoing, especially if you see me at a car meet, kind of like that kid. I think I scared him a little bit because I was like, oh my God, hi. I love to meet people. And so I think I'm very outgoing, kind of like my car's color. However, if you ask anybody else, like my car group, when I asked them this question, just to help me out, they're like, duh, you're exhaust because you are also loud. And I was like, okay, thanks. So I actually think, like, to other people, it's probably my exhaust matches who I am. But if I was going to say it, it would definitely be the color.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's a question for you, but I mean, it's good to reach out to other people and see what they think too.
I was like, I don't want to get it wrong. Cause like, what if I think it's the color and people are like, no, it's the wheels or whatever.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, there's really no wrong answer with that though, you know?
That's fair. I think it's like a study session. I don't know why, but I had to get it right.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I don't know that anybody else has said that they like reached out to other people to answer that question.
So it's a group effort.
Yeah, there you go. And if you had to describe your cross trick in one word, what would it be?
Oh gosh, I thought about this question for a while. I think it'd be fulfilling would be the word. And I know that that's probably like a random word to say, but if you look at the cross check, and we were talking about this earlier before we started recording, and so I kind of want to like, you know, focus on it, is the fact that because I bought a car, I made one simple choice at a dealership. I was given so much. You know, I was able to set goals for myself to make a build that I loved and enjoyed. I was able to meet a community of people that, although they live in the same state as me, one of them literally lives down the street, like 2 minutes away from me.
Yeah.
I would have never met them if I didn't have my cross track, you know? This silly little Subaru brought so much to my life, and I'm very fulfilled with how it's ended up. I'm, you know, a year and a half into owning my car, and I adore everything that's come down the way from the dealership. You know, after driving off the lot with Mushu being completely stocked to being where I am now, I'm very at peace and I'm very happy with how my life has turned out just because of the car.
And you're very fulfilled.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think it could get better.
Yeah. Yeah. Except more mods.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If anyone wants to like help me out with that, you let me know.
So here's a big one. If you could trade Subies with one other person for a day, who would it be?
Ooh. That there's just so many options. There's so many cool people. If I could trade Subarus with someone, I think it would be Shelby the Subi. He has a lifted Impreza, and I believe he's the same year as me. I think he's a 2016, and he's actually my neighbor, the one that lives down the street from me. But his is a manual, and I miss driving manuals. Oh, that was my first car. And so, not that it's anything spectacular, and I don't want to discredit anyone in this community saying that, oh, I don't like your build as much as I like this guy's build. I love his Impreza because it is manual and it's lifted and it's so much fun for him to drive that if I could trade it like for a day, like a full day, I would, just so I could drive it around, drive a manual and just enjoy the fact that I'm driving something so uniquely different. And he's also like in the process of building it to be like a rally car. So it's missing the back seats.
Nice.
Yeah, he's going hard with that right now. And so I would love to drive it and have like all the weight out of it just to like whip it around corners and stuff without any, you know, legal action from police. But I think because I'll definitely be whipping it. I think I'd definitely trade his car for a day.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, I love driving a manual every single day. It's so fun. And having a Crosstrek with not a whole lot of power, I feel like I have at least more control over my car. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wasn't going to get one unless I could get a manual. I mean, that was like, I have to have a manual or not, you know.
You lucked out.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of them. They had to, there's six Houston area dealerships and they had to go up to Dallas to get it. So, but now I have it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of manuals that are Crosstreks.
Yeah, so I feel fortunate. But so what would you say, or what, I guess, what does the Subaru community mean to you?
You know what, let me leave you with this. I think Subaru leans heavy into what their motto is. And, you know, love is what makes a Subaru. And as cheesy as that sounds, it's 100% accurate. Let's look at the community as, you know, a single individual. I love my Crosstrek. I love my Subaru. I've loved all three of my Subarus because I'm so proud about my car. And I'm happy to have it. I've decided to take that step and share it publicly. And through that, I've met a community of the most unique, you know, well-driven, well-connected, most inspiring people I've ever met. Some of which, you know, are as far as Europe. I believe you interviewed somebody in Germany. He was really cool.
Yeah, he was in France.
Germany, Switzerland. Yeah. France. Dang it. Yeah. Why did I think it was Germany? Either way, France is still super cool and super far away, but we're all friends. That's the thing, is like the community does speak volumes for what Subaru is. It's a community that loves each other, that supports each other, that wants to see each individual grow, especially people that are new, like what you were talking about. You know, to see somebody roll up in a stock Subi but say, I want to be like you guys is so exciting. And you just like want to just pour all of your excitement into them, be like, you're going to do great things, you know. And to have friends that like Battle Wagon or Oli Trek, Haley, or Nevada XV or Journey XV, all of these awesome people that reach out to you when you're not posting anything. And they're like, hey, you've been quiet. Are you doing okay? And they want to know who you are as a person beyond the build. I think is really impressive because Subaru has created that kind of community and that kind of connection with each other versus, you know, no hate to any other car community or, you know, designer, but you don't get that with a Lexus. You don't get that with a Ford. You don't get that with a Mercedes-Benz, you know. Just Subaru is just something so unique and so different. And I've expressed to you personally, just through DMs and just talking with you, you know, if I hadn't gotten Mushu a year and a half ago, I don't think I would be where I am today mentally, just because of who I've come across and who inspires me to be a better person. I don't know. It's super cheesy, but I think
people
have impacted my life for the better. Well, good, because I think I'm like a very cheesy person. But the community just means more than anyone will ever know to me, just because of how much they've impacted my life. You know, Mushu or not, I think it would be, sorry, I got distracted. I just think the community is just so unique and so loving.
Yeah, I mean, but I know you're not alone as far as this community impacting your life more than you could ever express. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people feel that way. And because we all experience it every day, you know, we get to talk to people that, you know, and like you said, when somebody notices that you're not posting for a while or something, they reach out to you, and just having a place where you can open up to people and be yourself and express, hey, I'm not doing too well. And you know that they're going to be there for you. That's huge, you know? And so just buying, I mean, you think about how simple it is that you just, it's like, I just bought a car. you know, and you could have bought any car, but you decided to buy a Subaru. And so it's like, did Subaru create this like great community, or did the people that own Subarus love them so much that they kind of created the community themselves? But no matter what, it's great that we have this community, and it's great that Subaru supports this community, and they're not just some car company that's just sitting out there pumping out cars. They're actually involved with all of us. They, you know, you go to these events that they put on, and they're there, you know, with us. And that's super, super cool.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and
I agree.
I would have never expected, you know, all of this stuff to happen. You know, I mean, I would have never expected this stuff to happen to me just because I started a podcast, you know, and it's been like a crazy journey. And I feel like even though I've been doing it for over a year, I feel like I'm just getting started, you know, and there's so much that I want to be able to do for the community, seeing what Subaru does for the community, what other people have done. You know, there's all these like charitable events and stuff that go on across the country. And like, I want to be able to get involved in stuff like that. And that's why I want to do this full time, is because I want to be able to get out with the community more. I want to be able to do kind of what Subaru does, you know, by being really involved and showing that they care and doing things for other people. And so I want to have the time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're on your way, and I think you make it very clear that you want to support Subaru in their message. And I think Subaru also supports you in kind of being this bridge between all the Subaru owners to Subaru. And I think, kind of like you said, Subaru pays attention to who drives their cars, and they go the extra mile compared to, you know, these other dealers. You know, they're just, Subaru has an impact versus, you know, if you buy a Ford per se, they're just like, okay, here you go, have fun with your Ranger, bye. You know,
yeah.
Subaru goes the extra mile.
yeah. So would you have anything else to add before we close this out?
No, other than just thank you for having me on. I feel so special that you asked me, and I'm just excited to have people listen. You know, and if you're new to the community, feel free to reach out to me, because I love making new friends. Also, if you're an old one, reach out, because I'm sure I lost you in my DMs.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to keep up with those sometimes, but
I know
I'll find one every once in a while. I'm like, wait a minute, I can't believe I missed this one. Or like somebody will follow me and I'm like, how did I miss following this person back? You know? So.
Yes. Yeah. Especially when you have like a personal account and then you have your Subaru account, because I'll switch in between and then I'll be like, oh, where'd that message go? And then it's 2 weeks old by then, because I switched back to my car account. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to ignore you. Please don't hate me.
Yeah. So, well, thanks again for doing this. And it was awesome talking to you. I'm so glad we got a chance to do this. And thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, I will talk to you later.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much.
Okay, another episode down. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this episode. If you're not already doing so, go check out Mushu the Cross Trek. It's actually Mushu Trek 98 is the Instagram handle, so go check it out and give her a follow. So thanks again for tuning in. Thank you all for listening. I hope everybody has a great week. And go check out the link tree in my bio and consider supporting the podcast. It really helps keep this thing going. And I appreciate all of my patrons that I have and the sponsors for the podcast. So come join the fun and come join our Discord server and get into some crazy conversations. So anyway, everybody have a great week, and we will see you on the Wednesday news segment.